Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the marketing department here at Car Talk Plaza, are we?
This is interesting, and you're going to love this.
I'll be the judge of that.
Someone named Donald G. Jones sent this to us, and it says, if airlines sold paint, that's the title, if airlines sold paint, and here's a little exchange between a customer and the clerk at the airline paint store. Okay, the customer says, hi, how much is your paint? The clerk says, well, that all depends on a lot of things. Our lowest price is $12 a gallon, and we have 60 different prices, all the way up to $200 a gallon. Customer says, well, what's the difference in the paint? The clerk says, oh, there's no difference in the paint. It's the same paint. Customer says, well, I guess I'll take some of that $12 paint. The clerk says, well, what did you intend to paint? And the customer says, I wanted to paint. Oh, when did you intend to paint? He says, well, I was planning to paint tomorrow. It's my day off. And the guy says, well, the paint for tomorrow is $200 paint. Customer says, well, when would I have to paint to get the $12 paint? And then the clerk says, well, you'd have to start very late at night, maybe like 3 weeks from now, but you'll have to agree to start painting before Friday of that week and continue painting until Sunday. Customer says, you got to be kidding. The clerk says, I'll check and see if we have any paint available anyway.
Exactly.
Customer says, you got shelves full of paint. I can see it right behind you there. The clerk says, well, doesn't mean we have paint available. We sell only a certain number of gallons on any given weekend. And by the way, the price per gallon just went to $16. We don't have any more $12 paint.
Can I interrupt for a second? Is there a light at the end of this tunnel?
No.
I mean, I noticed that you have a sheaf of papers in your hand.
Well, this goes on. Get the idea.
Yes, I get the idea.
How did they get away with it, you might ask? We don't know.
No. It's the one lesson that Guido Sarducci says you should have learned from the economics course that you took in college.
That's right.
Supply.
And demand.
And demand.
That's what it is.
Well, it isn't just supply and demand. It's a very clever supply and demand because they control the supply and they create the demand.
Of course.
Yeah. So they've got all the aces in their hand.
They do. And what can you do about it?
And absolutely the amazing thing nothing. Is they're all still going out of business.
That's the strange part.
Yeah.
They're always crying.
Yeah, well, maybe they're lying. Who knows? Anyway.
Lying? They're not in the used car business.
If you're lying or you're crying and you want to talk to us about a problem with your car or anything for that matter, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jennifer down in Athens, Georgia.
Hi, Jennifer. Flown lately?
No, no.
Athens, Georgia. What's going on, Jennifer?
Well, I have a 93 Acura Integra with a very prolific power steering fluid leak. I replaced the high-pressure hose, and it's spraying on my hood, getting on my belt, and I don't know what to do.
The high-pressure hose is leaking?
Well, had it replaced.
Oh, you had it replaced.
Yep, and they said that should take care of it, but I'm still having the problem in putting fluid in about every 2,000 miles.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, 2,000 miles?
Yep.
Gee, my brother, my brother's eyes lit up when he said 2,000 miles. He has never owned a car that leaked anything as slow as every 2,000 miles.
I've never owned a car that had power steering. That's what I was excited about.
Well,
that goes by in about 3 weeks for me, maybe four.
No, it could be that you had more than one leak. At least this is what we tell our customers. It's often the case when you have a leak. For example, from the high-pressure power steering hose, that leak, because it's under, high pressure.
It overwhelms everything else.
Exactly. It subsumes all other leaks.
Right.
So that you can't see the secondary and tertiary leaks.
Oh, my.
But have you brought it back to the guys who put in the hose?
Yep.
And what do they say?
They said they checked the clamps, and everything looks good, and I may be having to replace my pump because the valves are sticking, and it's backing up and spraying on my hood.
No, I don't like that.
I'm an engineer. I do water. I don't do cars, and that sounded kind of weird to me.
It sounds weird to me, too.
It's fluid, you know. That's close. Pretty close.
Well, here's what you should do. If they're unwilling to do it, you can take it and do it yourself. They should steam clean the area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when the whole area is cleaned, if you immediately begin to look for the leak, it should be pretty obvious where the leak is coming from.
And the way to do it is just sit there in your driveway, or preferably in their driveway, so the stuff goes all over their driveway instead
of
yours.
And a cold beer in your hand while you're doing it.
Have a cold beer.
Exactly.
And just turn the steering wheel back and forth, left to right. And that will make it leak. And you'll see exactly where it's coming from.
If I had to guess from my vast experience with Integras, there are two possible culprits here. The more likely of the two is the power steering pump. And the less likely is the rack and pinion.
Well,
and you better hope it's less likely.
I was just going to say that you're lucky. No, it's not the rack because it's spraying under her hood.
No, the fact that it's spraying means...
That's wonderful.
If you're really lucky, these knuckleheads installed the hose incorrectly.
That would be wonderful.
I heard it was pretty tough on those Integras.
To do it wrong. No, it's not that hard at all to do it.
Yeah.
So they could have done something wrong, or maybe the hose is faulty. But I would ask them at the very least to clean it. If they won't do it, take it to some place that will steam clean it, get all the oil off, and then go back, and it'll be obvious where the leak is coming from.
Well, I think I can handle that.
Maybe they cross-threaded it.
Yeah, that's why you need a new pump. Good luck, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thanks for
your
call.
Good luck.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bill from Henderson, Kentucky.
Hey, Bill from Henderson, Kentucky. What's happening?
I got a 93 Nissan pickup. It sounds like it has mice under the hood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've got this strange squeaking noise. It's been happening for about 2 months now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And does it happen if you're sitting at idle?
No.
You have to be moving.
Yes, it happens on two occasions. One, when I'm accelerating, and two, when I'm decelerating or putting on the brake.
Oh.
Well, so tell us a little bit about Henderson, Kentucky.
I knew you were heading in that direction.
Is it a quiet little town?
Yes, it is.
It is. Which end of Kentucky is it? Middle, north, south, what?
Not that he even knows where Kentucky is.
I can tell you all the states that border Kentucky.
Go ahead.
California's on the left. Virginia's on the right. North Dakota's on top of it, and Texas must be right underneath it.
Well, you're right.
Did I hit any one of them?
No. Virginia.
Virginia. Well,
Virginia, you hit Virginia.
I did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any cities in Kentucky? Oh, Louisville is in Kentucky.
Yes.
Is it anywhere in Louisville? One of my favorite places.
Yes. I'm in the western part of Kentucky.
And so is Louisville.
Yes, it is.
It is? I knew that.
Near California.
Well, I would have to say.
Go ahead. Say something, because I'm still working on it.
Well, you have to make the noise. Is it really like a mouse, or is it a...
It's not even that. It's just a... just like that. Just a short squeak.
One time?
At the most, it's done it twice. And I'm thinking that it's a belt.
Here's a good way to find out if it's the belt. Turn on all the accessories like the headlights, the defroster, and all that jazz.
Uh-huh.
And see if it does it with greater intensity when you rev the engine with all that stuff on.
Okay.
And if it is the belt, you don't have to be in motion to get that noise.
Okay.
So if, in fact, you do get the noise with all the accessories on and it's diminished in intensity with the accessories off, then it would lend credence to the belt theory.
Yeah, but the belt wouldn't just go... The belt would go...
It usually would make a lot, but if it's been the same for a period of time...
Almost 2 months.
So you're driving along, and you accelerate, and as you're accelerating, you hear a one or two time...
And then
it stops, even though you're still accelerating.
See, I think it's more likely to be a loose exhaust system component, you know, where the front pipe bolts to the manifold...
I like that.
Or where the converter bolts to the front pipe... If there's any movement there, and you will get that movement of the engine under load only.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so when you rev the engine, and you might be, is this an automatic transmission?
Oh. Yes, it is.
Put the thing in drive with your foot firmly planted on the brake, your left foot, that is. Okay, and don't point it at your house or anything.
Okay.
Point it at, like, a neighbor's house in the event that something goes wrong. And you're going to give it some gas like you were trying to drive it, but, of course, having the foot brake on and the hand brake, too. Will keep the car from moving and see if you can duplicate the noise.
I like this.
See if you can, when revving
because
it up.
Because then you'll get the torque of the engine and you'll simulate what's going on when you accelerate and decelerate on the road.
See, gotcha. As the crankshaft turns, as the engine crankshaft turns, in one direction, usually clockwise, the engine, i.e. the whole block, tries to rotate in the other direction. And when that happens, you can set up a dynamic which will cause two pieces of metal, like parts of the exhaust system, to move against one another and make this noise. Yeah.
And does it sound like it's coming like right from almost under you, but a little forward?
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Like it's right in the dash.
We're getting all the right answers here. I'm with you.
Man. So try to duplicate it, and if you can duplicate it, you can take it someplace, and then you can have somebody lie under the car with a stethoscope and listen.
Okay.
Yeah, while you're in there with revving up the engine, someone's going to lie under the car. Yeah, try to find a real dumb mechanic. Try any mechanic.
I always go to my guys to do it. Good luck, Bill.
Thank you very much.
See you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi.
Heidi, ho.
You must hear that all the time.
Are you from the Alps?
No, I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts, right around the corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, whose song was Heidi, ho?
Heidi, ho.
Louis Armstrong, wasn't it?
No, I believe it was Cab Calloway.
Cab Calloway, you're right.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Man, you are old.
No, not you,
my brother.
Oh.
Cab Calloway, I mean, the guy died 50 years ago.
He did?
I didn't even know he was sick.
Anyway, Heidi, what can we do for you?
Well, I have a serious mystery, and I need your help. I have a 1991 Toyota Camry LE, and when I'm driving slowly and I'm turning to the right and I have my foot on the brake, my car makes this howling noise. And it only happens when my foot's on the brake, and it only happens when I turn to the right. And I thought it was my brakes at first, because it sounds like it's coming from the front of the car. So I brought my car to my mechanic, who's an amazing guy, and he looked at the brakes, and he said, they're fine. The pads are only halfway worn down, and it doesn't appear to be a problem with the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no clue what it is, and every time I bring it to him, he either doesn't hear it, or he hears it, and he checks the brake, and he can't figure out what's wrong with it.
And this howling... It's a continuous. And when you say howling, it's a continuous.
It's not continuous. It's only as long as I have my foot on the brake. And the minute I take my foot off the brake, it stops.
So this must be happening when you're moving along at a fairly good clip.
No. It only happens when I'm pulling, like, into a parking lot or into a parking space.
It's
Yeah, except that it's never that long. It's just the minute I take my foot off the brake.
Right.
What if you left your foot on the brake?
Yeah.
You'd stop. That's what the problem is. You just left your foot in your brake and you're going slow. You stop, and then the noise goes away.
You got it.
And the noise is coming from the left front when that happens?
It sounds like it's coming from the right front.
Right front on right turns.
Right.
See, I don't think the turn has anything to do with it, quite honestly.
Really?
Oh, well, you're gonna have a problem with that.
Tough.
I mean, I don't think she's gonna go for it. I mean,
hey, we're never gonna see her again.
Hey, I mean,
she just told you. I mean, she described the problem. It happens. She said, when she turns to the right.
Well, look at your mechanic, Fred, to whom you've taken the car.
Right.
Has found nothing wrong with the brakes.
No, he actually just took them apart again, and he said that the pads are still half good.
Okay, well, I'm going to predict, and maybe you'll bear me out, that if you were to step on the pedal a little harder when it's doing this, that the noise goes away.
Okay.
Is that true?
I haven't tried it out.
No, because the car stops.
No, but if you, for example, if you were on an exit ramp and you were slowing down.
Right.
And the noise were there, if you stepped on the pedal a little bit harder, I'm going to predict that the noise is going to change dramatically or probably just go away completely.
Why? What is it?
Well, wait a minute. Have you never experienced this noise on an off-ramp, which is on the big, wide right turn?
Well, I sort of have to confess, usually when I'm driving long distances, I have the radio on, and then you can't hear it.
Oh, jeez.
All right. I'll check it out, though.
Ah, so it may well be that what my brother says is correct.
It may be. I haven't experienced it.
It may be a momentary noise, which you misdescribed as a howling, trying to mislead us.
Never.
Well, what I think is going on is you're getting, and I don't know why it happens on right turns. I'd be willing to bet if you tried it enough on left turns, you'd get it to do it then, too, or even going straight. But you're getting just the right dynamic where the disc brake rotor is vibrating. We often get a noise just like this when we machine disc brake rotors. We have a lathe which we attach right to the car to machine these discs right on the car. And sometimes if conditions are just right, as that tool is machining,
howling.
You'll get this ooh noise.
Huh.
And someone says, go let Peter out.
He's locked in the bathroom.
He locked himself in the bathroom again.
And usually what does it is increasing the depth of cut or changing the rate at which the tool is moving. But in your case, what's causing it is the squeezing, albeit gently, of the disc by the brake pads. That's why I suggest if you take your foot off the brake, it goes away.
Yeah, it goes away.
But similarly, if you step on the brake a little harder, it will go away.
So then the car is perfectly safe.
It's perfectly safe. What your mechanic can do is to take the brake pads out and clean them up, i.e. sand them down with an abrasive,
okay.
And then put this chemical on the backside of the pads called Disc Brake Quiet.
Okay. What an innovative name.
Isn't it very clever? Yeah. So that sometimes helps. And if nothing else, it'll probably change it enough to let you know that it's that kind of a problem and nothing to worry about.
Wow.
Cool, huh?
Incredible. You guys are awesome.
See ya, Heidi.
Good luck, Heidi.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, do you remember the probability puzzler that I introduced last week?
What's the probability of that? I mean, what is the chances that I would remember anything from last week?
Is this possible to have negative probability?
It is.
We may have to make an exception in your case. We'll be back in a minute.
This car drives me crazy. Worn tires are losing air.
And even though Facebook automatically asks our friends, are you sure you still want to do this? Whenever we say it, this is NPR. Support for the Car Talk podcast comes from Universal Music Classics, presenting Pete Townsend's new album, Classic Quadrophenia, an orchestral presentation of the groundbreaking 1973 rock opera featuring Pete Townsend, Billy Idol, and Phil Daniels, conducted by Robert Ziegler and orchestrated by Rachel Fuller. Check it out. You'll find it's a great way to drown out the rest of our show. Pete Townsend's Classic Quadrophenia, available now on Amazon.com and iTunes. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Had to do with probability, I understand.
Probably. This was really geared for the kids in the audience, but since Berman had such a tough time with it, we said adults were eligible to work on it, too. And it is a probability problem. There's this baseball team that consists of 20 kids. And at the end of the season, the coach decides to have a barbecue at his house. And when the kids arrive, the coach says, listen, I know how your kids love your team and all that, but you can't wear your hats at the barbecue. So they all toss their hats into a pile. And they fill their little faces with, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers and the like. And at the end of the party, they all reach in, and at random, they grab a hat, and each one puts a hat on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what's the probability that 19 out of 20 of these kids gets his original hat? This is a classic case of a little knowledge being a dangerous thing.
Yes.
I have no idea how to solve that problem, but I do know.
That the answer is zero.
The answer is, in fact, As difficult as it might be for 20 out of 20 to get their hats, it's even harder for 19 out of 20 to get the right hat.
Yeah.
In fact, it's impossible. Because if 19 kids get the right hat, that leaves only one hat and one head.
Right.
And it must belong to
the wrong kid.
The other kid.
Right.
Louis just got it. All right, Louis. Right.
If one kid's got the wrong hat, there's got to be another kid with the wrong hat.
It's
as simple as that.
Exactly.
And that's why I got the answer so fast, because I didn't do any calculations, because I don't know how to do any calculations. This is great.
We have a winner.
Man. The winner is Bill Quinn from El Cajon, California. And for having his answer selected at random.
Let's see what's so funny about Bill Quinn.
I can't believe we selected his answer at random. From all the correct answers that we got, Bill is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a copy of our music CD, Car Talk Cartoons, America's Best. disrespectful car songs. Wow. Nice going, Bill.
Well, anyway, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
We will have a brand new, I can't give any hints because I would give it away, but it is a non-automotive.
Oh, that's good
puzzle, and I think it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And that'll be coming up in the third half of the show today. So stay right by your radio. Don't move. But if you have a question, you can go to your phone. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Janet calling from Houston.
Hi, Janet. Houston. What's up?
Well, I have a 97 Grand Marquis that was flooded overnight in about 27 inches of street water.
Yeah, you guys had some water, eh?
Oh, it came down so fast.
Yeah.
Well, the adjuster was flown in, and he told me to get prepared that he was going to total it, and I begged him not to total it.
Oh,
and,
no.
Did I make a huge mistake?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Why?
You were so in love with this 97 Grand Marquis?
Oh, all my life I've always had the subcompacts.
Yeah.
And this had all the bells and whistles. And the mechanic, I got it back in a week. He dried it out, replaced the jute under the carpet, and replaced the fluids, and
yeah,
replaced the driver's seat electric track.
Yeah.
How much water was in it?
It was 2 inches above the seat where you put your fanny.
But not up to the dashboard, the underside of the dashboard.
It wasn't in the dashboard, correct.
Yeah. Pretty close to it.
Did they replace the computer, too?
No, he said it didn't reach my computer.
That's good.
So he replaced all the stuff under the mats and the mats, the floor, the rugs, all that junk, and the seat?
In fact, they just pulled the seats out and dried them, and it, you know, has a little bit of a basement smell, but, you know,
you'll never get rid of that smell. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the insurance had to have covered. I would put new seats into it. That it's crazy to deal with that. Don't forget, I mean, the seats are not impervious to water, so those seats got filled up with water.
And the seats cost as much as the engine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they sure were totaling them left and right here.
Yeah.
And why didn't, you know, if they had totaled it, they would have just shipped that car up north and some Yankee would be buying it now.
Some dumb Yankee. Don't forget that part of it.
But I think you will have one problem after another with this thing.
No.
And because not only the water that got into it certainly affected some of the things, like the electric seat motor and all that. But the moisture that was in the car got into everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that will have an effect on things for years to come.
But don't forget, she's in Texas.
No, but she's in Houston. And
all you got to do is leave the doors open one day
not
when
in Houston.
It's 125 degrees outside.
Not in Houston.
And everything.
It's too humid. You have to go out to West Texas.
Lubbock. I think you need Lubbock.
Yeah.
Who's
your insurance company?
A day in Lubbock.
Lloyd's of Lubbock?
I think one day in Lubbock, you just drive out to Lubbock. Don't use the air conditioning. Leave all the windows open. And park in Lubbock for about an hour. And have a cup of coffee and drive back to Houston, and everything will be dried out.
Yeah, right. No, first of all, you'll never get rid of that smell either. But
Well, will it help to run those little motors daily, like moving the seats and, raising and closing the windows?
Nothing's going to help. I mean, if it turns out that you can't get rid of the smell, and you'll know if the smell is there, because women have noses, they can smell everything.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't smell anything. And if they do, they don't mind it.
In fact, they can't even like it.
They can't even like it. But women smell everything, and you'll smell it. And if that's the case, you invest a few $100 and you buy seats at a junkyard.
Okay.
That's what I would do. I would just drive it. It could be perfectly fine.
All right.
And in the future, take the money.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks.
See you.
Bye-bye.
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 All right. You know what time it is now?
Time to airbrush our photos with a mechanic's swimsuit calendar.
No. It's time to play Stump the Chump. This is that part of the show where we revisit a previous caller to see if our advice was jaded, faded,
or underrated. So who's our lucky caller this
week?
I don't
have any idea, but we have notes. The note says it's Bob from Fort Worth, Texas, And do you remember Bob's Tale of War? Neither do I.
Does it involve cattle trailers and beehive hairdos?
No, but you're very close, I think. It involves flies and horses.
Oh, yeah.
Bob went to horse shows, and every time he got back in his truck, it would be filled with huge flies, and the poor guy, he had to drive around with a can of Raid in the cup holder. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But someone suggested that I set off a bug bomb at night, but I'm concerned
about your health.
Well, no. I mean, put it in the car.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think you want to get into a car that's just been sprayed with deadly poison.
Well, I'm concerned.
You might as well throw Agent Orange in there. I mean, come on.
I'm concerned more about the bug juice getting in the electronics of the car and messing up the car.
The electronics? What about your lungs, man? Oh, you're re-smoking those Arturo Fuentes, so you don't care about your lungs.
I don't care about my lungs.
I don't think you should worry about your lungs either. In a few years, you'll be able to buy a lung.
You were rather cavalier about that.
Well, we ended up disagreeing on this, I think.
Right. I think you took the environmentally incorrect position and you said, bomb them into next Tuesday.
Bomb those little boogers.
For which, I might add, we got deluged with calls and emails saying that your brother is nuts.
Ah, a bunch of sissies.
I said, no way. I thought it was crazy to set off a bug bomb in the car, cover the seats in flypaper instead. So we disagreed.
So it's possible that one of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong.
Yeah, which is better than we usually do since we're usually both wrong. Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Bob, before we find out whether the flies are history or you are, we need to make sure that the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or the Better Living Through Pesticides Foundation. Is that correct?
Well, it's correct, but hope springs eternal, and I run to the mailbox every day looking for the bride.
You didn't get one. All right, whose advice did you follow?
Was I right about the bomb, and do you still have any hair?
Well, let me tell you what happened. My wife went to the grocery store, and I asked her to bring back a bug bomb. When she brought it back, it scared me to death. All the warning labels, all the chemicals. And I never had a product in my hand that had so many pictures of skulls and crossbones.
Yeah.
I said, this is not going to work. So I thought about it and thought about it, and I realized that when the weather gets cold here, which is not often and not for long, we don't have flies. So I have a friend who is in the ice business, the commercial ice business.
Oh, well.
So I took my car and drove it to his warehouse. He manufactures these ice cubes that they put in the 10-pound bags that you buy at convenience stores.
And yeah. You just drove right into the freezer.
I put it into the freezing storage facility, not the freezing where the machinery is.
Yeah, yeah.
But where they store the ice. I rolled the windows down, left it there for 3 days. Goodbye, flies. No more problems.
That's it.
Wow, boy.
Wow, what a brilliant man you
we
are.
We should have called you.
Man, it's safe. It's a lot safer than the bug bomb.
So now what are you going to do with the bomb now that you have it?
Well,
I'm just curious.
I don't like my next door neighbor, so I'm going to
do it. Hey, Bob, you're a good sport. Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
That was very clever. All right, if you hear someone on the show that you'd like us to bring back on Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or if you just can't wait, you want to stump us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8-882-278-25. Oh, I like, how about 5 squared 5?
Oh,
hello, you're on CAR-TALK.
5 squared 5, yeah.
Hi, guys. This is Flap from Boise, Idaho.
Who?
Flap.
Flap.
F as in Foxtrot, L-A-P as in Papa.
Flap?
Flap.
From Boise. All right. Well, you're going to have to explain the name because you may be the first and last flap we ever speak to.
Well, out here we have Williamson mud flaps, and my maiden name was Williamson. And years ago, a truck went by, and a friend of mine said, hey, it's low and wide, just like you. So it went from mud flap to the more informal flap.
Right.
What a... That's great.
Yeah.
And you like this name?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It's unique.
Yeah. And it's unforgettable, kind of.
And I don't blow over in high winds, which is another distraction.
And they're when someone yells, hey, flap, you don't see 6 or 7 people turning around.
That's absolutely right.
Like when my brother's in a crowded bar and someone yells out, hey, stupid.
Everybody turns around.
He's the first one, though. Anyway, what's up?
Well, I have a question, driving in directions.
Yeah.
When my husband and I run errands, we'll hop in the truck. He'll turn to me and say, what stops do we need to make?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell him where we need to go, and he'll say, okay, what route should I go?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, if I were driving, this is how I would go.
Yeah.
He says, okay, backs out, and every single time goes the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And is this a male-female thing? I don't understand it.
I'm going to write a book. I mean, it's not just men are from GM, women are from Ford or Mars and Venus and everything else. Man, there's no end to the differences between men and women. Whew.
Well, you know, I've begun lately, only because I've been proven wrong so many times. I accept when my wife says, take a left, stupid.
You just do it.
I do it now.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have to say the stupid part. She just says, take a left, because I've learned to mistrust
yourself.
My sense of direction and my sense of order, too. If we had to do five errands, I would absolutely rely on my wife to tell me in which order they should be done and the route I should take. Because I know, well, first of all, I'd do the first two and forget the last three. But I know that women have better organizational skills.
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, see, this is the kind of problem where you got five stops to make and you have to figure out the most efficient way to make the five stops. That is a classic case. It's a classic case now. It's a classic case of linear thinking.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, this is the kind of thing of which computer programs are written. It's a classic case of linear thinking.
The shortest path from A to B to B to C, C to D.
Exactly.
To D. Yeah, of course.
And we know that most men are, there are more men who are linear thinkers than there are women who are linear thinkers.
That's what you're thinking.
And exactly. And so you would think that this is a classic case of a problem that a man could solve.
But if you thought this, would you be thinking linearly?
Yes, you would. And that would be a mistake. The reason I'm so flabbergasted is this happens with my wife all the time. I say, how do I do that? I mean, I was born in this city. I've been driving around for 75 years, and I start going in the wrong direction.
Well, more
and
than
she says, hey, dummy, where are you going? And I say, wah, wah, wah.
Well, but the other thing my wife puts into the equation is, well, I wouldn't have gone this way because you always hit traffic going this
way. Exactly.
Or I wouldn't have gone that way because school gets out now.
Would and you know that?
No.
You don't know that.
No.
Exactly.
And you're going to get stuck behind the school bus while it makes 500 stops.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't know that.
What was the question?
I just wondered, and I've tried things like, I've asked him, he said, well, I don't want to make any left turns. But I've seen him make perfectly executed left turns across traffic.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to tell him just the opposite of the way I would go.
Yeah.
So he will go the way I want to go.
Oh, you're using reverse psychology.
That doesn't work either.
No.
No. Nothing's going to work. There's no way to ever understand this. And that's why I'm going to take it upon myself to write the definitive book. Why would it be a book?
Well,
see, that's
no.
What you're thinking, too.
No. A paragraph would do it.
Paragraph.
Yeah, get to the point. If it takes you more than three paragraphs, then you're wasting our time. Anyway, Flap, keep up the good work, because don't give up.
Okay.
Who's that screaming in the background?
Our three-year-old.
Oh, Flap Jr.?
Flapette
Jr. Flapjack.
Hey, I wish you the very best, and I wish we could give you some advice here, but we're morons, and we don't have any idea.
Okay.
When we figure out women, that'll be the day.
Well, I'll look forward to your pamphlet that explains it all.
Okay. All right. See ya.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tommy, I can see that you need a little break, man.
Me? Why is it always me that needs the break? I mean, be honest. You're the one who wants the break. Just fess it up, man. You get tired. Everyone needs a rest sometimes. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you need a break, you say, I need a break. Just say it, man.
Okay. I admit it. I need a little break.
Again? You lazy, good-for-nothing. Get back to work.
We'll be back with the new puzzler in just a minute.
Please take the wheel and steer us out of here. Someplace where the sun may shine upon your face. Let's get lost. Could be the only way to get found.
And even though Alex Trebek thinks up a new category called Imbeciles, Idiots, and Radio Show Hosts whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to take time to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. At TireRack.com, you can view their test results, user ratings, and reviews to help you select the right tires for your car. TireRack.com has over a million tires in their warehouse, so you'll never get talked into compromise like I did when I came home with four bicycle tires on my 97 Honda Odyssey. At Tire Rack, when you find the right tires, they can be delivered to a local recommended installer in as little as one business day. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, this was sent in by a fellow whose name I'm undoubtedly going to mispronounce, Khaled Balama. Ooh. And he says, I like your radio show. I start listening just to improve my English. Since I am a non-native and know I am addicted now to the show. And so he suggested this Puzzler, and his last sentence was, just remember to fabricate a story as usual. So he got that much of the language. And I'm afraid
he understands that.
If he's relying on us to learn English, he's got a long way to go. But here it is. It's a cute little Puzzler. And I have complaints from time to time from people that the Puzzlers are too difficult.
Really?
So I thought that this Puzzler certainly is within most people's grasp. You ready?
Yeah.
A barber had his first customer of the day who happened to be a friend of his. And when he was all done, the barber refused to take the money from the customer. And the fellow said, look, he said, I know we're friends, but business is business. I want to pay for my haircut. And the barber said, look, here's what we'll do. You open the cash register. I don't have any idea how much money is in there. But you match whatever is in there and then take out $20. Okay?
Mm. And fellas, this is going to be hard.
No, it isn't hard.
It's not.
Don't get discouraged.
Okay.
And the fellow says, okay, and he does that. The barber says, geez, I kind of like this. So the next customer comes in, he gets his hair cut, and the barber says, okay, you can do the same thing that my first customer of the day did. You can open the cash register, you can match what's in there, and then take out $20. The fellow does that, and he leaves. The third customer does the same thing. He matches what's in there, takes out $20, mm-hmm. and he leaves. The fourth customer, after receiving his haircut, opens the cash register and he says, I can't do it. And the barber says, why not? There's no money in here. Not a cent. And the question very simply is, how much money was in there to start? When the first friend got his haircut and he opened the drawer, he found... And there were three transactions
before we
ran out of money. Before the fourth, there were four haircuts.
Yeah.
But the recipient of the fourth haircut was unable to participate in this scheme because there was no money in cash register. I know you do. Well, I said someone of below average intelligence should be able to figure this out. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you want to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
What's the number if you don't want to call us?
Pay attention. Same number, 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
You.
Megan from Portland.
Megan.
Yeah.
Like the normal spelling? M-E-G-A-N?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which Portland are you from? Cement
Oregon.
Or Oregon?
The rainy one.
The rainy one.
Oregon.
Yeah.
And my problem's rather boring, I'm sure. But
we'll try to be as boring as
deal.
We can.
We will try to bring a little sunshine into your life, Megan.
I've got a 92 Subaru Loyal.
Uh-huh.
And for about the last 3 weeks when I get in it, it doesn't happen every time, and it doesn't matter what time of day. I don't drive it a lot, but... when I get in and turn the key, it makes a sound. So I took it by the dealership the other day, and they said, well, it sounds electrical, but it runs $65 an hour to trace, so why don't you just wait till it's really bad and then come in? Well, I've got two little kids, so I promptly left the dealership, and then I thought, you know, great, is it going to catch on fire? So I went and bought a fire extinguisher. I've got that in the front seat just in case, but I thought, you know, I better call these guys and see what they have to say.
That was an excellent idea.
Yeah.
And I don't like his advice about, I mean, you described it to him as you just described it to us?
Right. He heard. He actually heard it. It doesn't do it every time, and you know, it didn't do it. Of course, like for 15 or 16 tries, and then finally, it did it in front of him.
And he was going to charge you $65 to diagnose it.
An hour, no, to trace it down if it's electrical.
What did he think it was related to? The clouds? Well, I think he knows that it's the starter motor or the flywheel because that's the noise that you described. It's going.
So he must really be either a moron or pulling the wool over my eyes. Because I said, hey, is my starter going? That's
which would you rather? Which would you rather, that he was a moron
I heard you
or
guys
a sleazeball?
Last week. Yeah. Would you rather be lied to? Yes, I'd rather be lied to. No.
No.
You're almost positive it's a starter. I could just go back and say,
well, it's
hey,
a starter.
Give me a new starter.
Well, it's a starter or the flywheel. The fact that it didn't do it but once every 16 times
right.
leads me to believe that it's a bad tooth or a bunch of teeth on the flywheel.
Okay.
And that when the flywheel stops at that location where the starter gear has to engage those bad teeth,
okay,
that's when you get the noise.
Okay.
And obviously it's been starting.
Yeah, because that's the kind of sound it's like, you know, when you're...
When the engine's already running.
Don't do this, but yeah, you know when the engine's already running and then you try and turn the car
Yeah,
on.
How many times have you done that? This may give us some insight into why you need a new flywheel.
No, not in this car, I'm afraid.
Oh, you haven't done it in this car. That's good.
But, yes, in the past, many years ago. So, yeah, it's the same kind of sound.
Yeah, it's one of those two things. And what he needs to do is take out the starter, which is pretty easy to do in this car, and look at the flywheel. They will turn the flywheel around and look at all the teeth.
Okay.
And if he sees a couple of chewed up teeth, he may recommend the flywheel. But I would be, if the flywheel is really bad, you'll have to replace it, which is going to require taking out the transmission.
Okay.
If it turns out to be, if the flywheel is hopelessly chewed up,
mm-hmm.
and you need to replace it because it's happening more and more frequently, I would say go ahead and do it. On the other hand, I'd be tempted to tell you to do nothing or just put a new starter in it and hope for the best.
Okay.
Good luck, Megan.
Thank you very much.
All right.
So long.
Have him look at those teeth.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Michael. I'm calling from New Orleans. How you doing?
Hey. Michael, we're doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Listen, I got a couple of problems.
Wait. Slow it down, will you, Michael?
Oh.
You must be from New York.
Where are you really from?
Seriously, from New Orleans. We talk just like we're from Boston.
No kidding.
Yeah, really. Like, everybody, that's the great thing. You know, people could come down from Boston to New Orleans or go from New Orleans up to Boston, and there's no difference. The accent.
So we should move down there, huh?
Absolutely. You'd be welcomed here. It's
I love it.
We were there once. They showed us to the airport.
Exactly.
So what's up? What's going on?
Well, I got a couple of problems. This one's the interesting one.
Yeah.
My wife and I are a one-car family, and I told her I was going to buy a new car. We replaced our old Audi. And she said, that's fantastic, and I told her I'd handle everything. And she went out of town, and I decided to buy a car that I liked. It was fun. I bought a Jetta Standard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the kicker.
And you didn't tell her.
Exactly. She comes back in town. She looks at the car. She loves it. She gets in, and she turns to me, and she said, you bought a Standard?
Mm.
And she called around, and she found out that you can get it transferred between a Standard to an automatic.
Mm.
And I can't believe, number one, that it can be done. And if it is done, doesn't it kind of screw up the works?
Oh, yeah. This would be the biggest mistake, the second biggest mistake, the third biggest mistake.
Hold on a second. That's my wife you're talking about. You got it.
No, I think it would be a mistake to do this.
Why?
No, I mean, it is certainly doable.
Right.
And first of all, if you're going to have it done, you must have it done at the dealership.
Right.
It's going to cost you a few $1,000.
Okay, well, that's more than they said. They said, well, we could do it for $600. It's not a problem.
Oh, $600?
Yeah, I thought...
When you went to buy the car, how much more was it with an automatic transmission?
Oh, it was...
$1,000.
Several thousand dollars
more. And they were doing it at the factory.
Correct.
So yeah. The only thing I can imagine is that they're going to sell. They have a ready, willing, and able buyer for your standard transmission.
I got you.
They're going to charge him the $3,000.
Right.
But it should cost you $3,000. But there are just so many things that will go wrong, not to mention the fact that I think You may even have to change things like the computer.
Oh, wow. I didn't even consider that.
Can she tough it out?
She's going to have to tough it out. Or I'm going to buy her a separate car.
Well, I mean, did you buy the car new?
Oh, brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long ago?
3 months. So now I have to bite the bullet and buy her a separate car.
Well, I think so. You have to buy her own car.
Yeah.
And when she has to drive this car, but for the most part, she'll be driving her own car with an automatic.
Yeah.
See, the trouble is now, jeez. I mean, I was going to suggest that you just swap it. Go back to the dealer and say, I want an automatic.
Well, you could do that, too. You'd take a serious hit.
But, I mean, you can get a used and sell this one. And I don't think it's going to be all that expensive to do that.
I have to look at the...
Yeah, I'd recommend that as opposed to having them put an automatic in yours. I think...
Forget, your wife is not going to forgive you.
Yeah. Well,
and the sooner you can get the memory of this out of her head.
We're already in the counseling
yes.
over this.
trust me, she will say, sure, hon, I'll tough it out.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And if you could only read her mind at that very moment,
yeah,
you'd know that there's no amount of money too high to prevent you from doing this because it's in your best interest. Trust me.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on this, but guys.
I know. I think you are.
I appreciate it.
See you, Mike.
Fantastic.
Good work, Mike.
Good
yes.
luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nancy. I'm calling from Heartland, Vermont.
Hi, Nancy. That sounds like it's right in the middle of the state, huh?
Oh, it's just south of White River Junction, right on the Connecticut River.
I know it well.
You do?
I went to Dartmouth.
Oh,
once.
Yeah, we're right down the road.
What's up?
I need some advice on buying a used vehicle.
Yeah.
In August, my whole family were leaving Vermont, and we are driving to Central America because we're going to live in Belize for a year.
What are you, like the Von Trapp family in reverse?
Well, sort of, considering the way we sing.
You live in Belize for a year.
And we're going to drive there.
You're
going to
drive there?
Yeah.
Why just a year?
I've been offered a job as a teacher at a tiny little school at a rainforest research station.
They call it teaching now, huh? Picking corn. They tell you it's a teaching job.
And slopping the hogs.
As soon as you get there, you'll find out that the teaching job has disappeared. The car won't run anymore. And you're going to be picking corn.
Oh, God.
So you want to know what kind of Land Rover should you buy?
Exactly.
So how many of you are there, first of all?
Well, there's myself and my husband, and we have two daughters and a dog, and all the stuff we need to live for a year.
Oh, you need a C5A.
Who makes that, Toyota?
I think Boeing.
Wait, how old are your daughters?
They're 14 and 11.
Are they thrilled at the possibility of living in Belize?
Anything's better than freezing your butt off at White River Junction, Vermont. Are you kidding me? They're going to run away and join the Belize Circus. You're never going to see them again.
It's possible. Yeah, they're pretty excited.
Yeah, well, God, I would be too. Are you kidding?
Well, good for you.
So the other thing is that we need, you know, the advice we've been given is to kind of look around and see what kind of vehicles are down there. And we went there in January, and we saw a lot of Toyotas. So we're kind of thinking, now this is where we need the advice. I'm sort of leaning toward like an older model Toyota 4Runner.
There you go.
Or a Pathfinder. And my husband is kind of thinking about a Blazer.
No, I would stick with Japanese.
Uh-huh.
Even though you may think, and I'm sure your husband is thinking, that it will be easier to get parts for the Blazer, he's wrong.
Really?
And I think it'll be easier to get parts for either one of those Japanese things because there are more of them there. And number two, you're going to need fewer parts because they don't break as often.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I recommend you do. I recommend you fly to L.A. Okay? Buy a 4Runner in L.A. It will get stolen. It will wind up in Belize.
Go there and buy it.
Go there, you can buy your own bag. Put some identifying mark, like in the glove box. Put your initials.
We should steal a car in L.A.?
No, they're going to steal it for you. The car thieves steal cars, and they wind up in Belize.
Why?
I don't know, but Belize, I think, is like the capital of where all the stolen cars wind up.
Really?
I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend either the 4Runner or the Pathfinder. You have to be careful, however, driving on what I will call unimproved roads.
Which are most from when we hit the Mexico border all the way down.
Yeah, so you have to be very careful about tipping the thing over. And don't be too much in a hurry to get there.
Okay.
Drive nice and slow. You're going to be driving through Mexico, huh?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you got badges?
Will you be anywhere where you can send us some Cuban cigars?
It's quite possible. I actually have some Cuban cigars.
Well, then take care of yourself.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, this is going to be quite an adventure.
Yes, it will. You know, believe it or not, while we're there, we're actually possibly going to be going to Cuba.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Well, don't forget your old pals Tom and Ray if you do go.
Cigars are on the way.
Box 3500, Cambridge, our fair city.
Nancy, this is going to be great. It's something your kids will remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, we're pretty so.
And they'll never forgive you
they'll
for
never
it.
Forgive you.
Good luck, Nancy.
All right. Thank you very much.
See you.
All right, bye.
Thanks for calling.
See you, Nancy.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Doug Berman, our producer, went to Japan for a week, and he had dysentery for a year. You never forgot that trip. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy, banned in Boston, Berman.
Wow.
Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his annual pre-bathing suit season, fried clams, fried dough, fried chicken, fry offers, and Diet Coke blowout, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our arbitration expert is Viola Fuss. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. The director of our Alpine Choir is Ole Olehi. Our locksmith is Eustace Nailfile. And our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
Kent Hoyt, I like it.
Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Homeland Security agents posing as honey-roasted nut vendors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1524, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our kids petition the courts to change their names to something more innocuous like Corleone whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.